WNYC Studios is supported by the community of writers, presenting live online short courses in the Writer's Annex. Upcoming in 2024, Sylvia Plath, James Joyce's Ulysses, and Emily Dickinson. Instructors include Victoria Chang, Robert Haas, Brenda Hillman, Peter Orner, and Matthew Zapruder. Learn more at communityofwriters.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I spoke earlier in the program with the reporter Ronan Farrow about Harvey Weinstein and about the wave of allegations of sexual harassment, and much worse, against so many powerful men. And I've got to admit that the problem is much more pervasive and brutal than I ever understood, which has been a very sad and painful thing to realize on a personal level and on a political level. And as men are talking about this problem, one of the names, one of the writers that we keep hearing about is the feminist thinker Bell Hooks. Bell Hooks has been thinking about the roots of male aggression for a very long time, and she addressed it directly in a book called The Will to Change: Men, Masculinity, and Love. It was a somewhat controversial book at the time among other feminists in particular, because rather than excoriating the worst behavior of men individually, she looks at masculinity as a whole, as a kind of regime that oppresses everybody, including men. So when you look at the Louis C.K. incident, for example, or a series of incidents, what does it suggest to you in the broader sense, in terms of the way we live? You've written about men and masculinity and patriarchy and all the rest. What does it suggest to you that we're not talking about quite yet?
Well, you said the key word, David. In all of this, I've read a ton of stuff, and hardly anybody has used the word patriarchy. Because in part, we want to act like this is individual male psychopathology and not like this is normal. And I went back to my 2004 book, The Will to Change: Men and Masculinity, and it's so much about how we raise males to believe that violence is how you get what you want, and that you have a right to violence.
You talk in that very book, in The Will to Change, you talk in the book about being a child and noticing the differences in how you and your brother were raised, starting at a very young age. Can you talk about some of those differences in order to, in a sense, begin a discussion of what patriarchy is and how it traps men and women?
Well,
and shapes us.
My father, who was a very violent, very patriarchal man, he was in the all-black infantry in World War II. He was a boxer. He was a basketball player. He was all of these things that we associate with masculinity. And in fact, really had a lot of disdain for my brother, because actually my brother was a much softer, warmer human being. And my father looked down on that. He felt that was not masculine.
But when you're reading about and watching the news in the last few weeks, how does this all relate to the creation of patriarchy? How are these manifestations of patriarchy? Somebody, the Louis C.K. incident, or the incident with various editors all around the country behaving in this way in newsrooms, not just Harvey Weinstein.
Well, what I would say about all of these men is that if we could research their childhoods, we would probably find that they have been the victims of some kind of trauma and probably some kinds of sexually related trauma. I think many, many, many males are abused as children in ways that we cannot talk about.
Well, one of the reasons that you got criticized for that book sometimes was that it seemed too sympathetic to men in some cases. Isn't that the case?
Absolutely. I mean, I still think that if we really want patriarchy to change, we are in trouble if we turn our backs on men and not really want to examine why are men so violent. John Bradshaw used to say that the primary form of child abuse is really shaming. And I think that if we look at all of these men and their behavior, it's such shaming behavior.
So I think what you're saying, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because it's essential here, that rather than looking at this as a series of cases and outliers and marveling at the great number of them, we need to think of it in systemic terms. That this is the way.
Absolutely,
this,
David.
This is the way we all are. So how do we not live like this any longer?
Well, one, we've got to be willing to challenge the way we parent. I mean, one of the things that I say to people, patriarchy has no gender. Just because a boy is being raised by a mother doesn't mean that that mother isn't patriarchal in her mindset, that the mother isn't telling that boy, you need to be a man. You know, you need to be a better man than your loser dad. And I can remember when dozens of mainly white feminist women were very concerned because they were having boys. And how will we raise these boys to be different? And after a while, you know, oh, my son wants a gun. I just can't keep it from him because all the other kids have guns. I mean, that's the interesting transition that we made away from caring about the masculinity of boys. I mean, they didn't want to see a correlation between what we take into ourselves about masculinity and how it's acted out.
Bell, what is the next step then? You talked about parenting, obviously, as essential to shifting away from standard patriarchal relations and assumptions and understandings. What about on the political level?
Well, I think parenting is political. I mean, think about how many thousands of children are being dealt with violently in our society every day. I don't think, you know, I feel almost like I can't really be heard in emphasizing that this has to begin on the level of family.
Why do you say you can't be heard?
Because I don't think people want to acknowledge. I mean, you know, initially when all of this stuff started with Harvey and other people, I kept thinking, I wouldn't be surprised if all of these men were not the victims of child sexual abuse. I mean, think about the movie Spotlight. Think about how much more common the abuse of boys is than people want to believe, and that it impacts how they deal in the world.
Bill, a final question is that most of what you suggest, a lot of what you suggest has to do with the psychological interplay between family members. This is not something that is easy to rectify. It's not something that can be changed very easily with a spending program or a new form of pedagogy in the schools. What's to be done?
Well, first of all, I think that all of the work that's being done on emotional intelligence is focusing on how closed off men are. And of course, we now have a government of closed off men. And so I think that we need, I'm a big fan of therapy. The men that I respect the most who have changed, whether they're gay, straight, trans, have been men who engage therapy so they can grow emotionally, so that they can be in touch with what they feel, so they can feel. I think these men that we're talking about are not men who feel, you know? And I have been a Louis C.K. fan in terms of his comedy, but I think you can see him as a harsh, kind of unfeeling man in the way he constructs his comedy.
Did you feel the same way about Bill Cosby when you were listening to his comedy?
Hated Cosby from jump. He was too good to be true.
Bell Hooks, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bell Hooks is the author of The Will to Change, Men, Masculinity, and Love, along with dozens of other books of poetry and theory and children's fiction as well.
Support for today's show comes from Deloitte. What does the future look like? By melding business acumen and innovative technology, Deloitte can help you build the future only you can imagine. They can help engineer solutions for your business reality today and your vision for tomorrow to get you to a world where you don't just dream it, you build it. See how you can engineer advantage with Deloitte at deloitte.com/us/engineeringadvantage.